Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio.
Sozo Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on Sozo Talk Radio. I am Daniel Lovett, and if you like what you're hearing, you can subscribe to this YouTube channel, also at SozoTalkRadio.com. And on the line today, I've got Florian Berndt. Hopefully I'm saying your last name right,
yeah.
Or even your whole name right.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all good.
So you're from Germany. Is that where you're living now, or is it just outside of Germany?
Yeah, we're living in Germany, south in the south of Germany, just across the Swiss border to the town Basel.
Yeah,
the Swiss town Basel, and so we've got about 15 minutes to France and 15 minutes to the Swiss border. That's where we're living right now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was talking with another Florian that I know. He moved from Germany to Appleton, where I live, and we got to know each other. It's quite interesting because I just met him in the back of church one day. He's sitting behind me, and I just turned around and struck up a conversation, and we hit it off right away, and talking about guitar and stuff. But and then his now wife, she came and was with him one time, and I turned around to say hello to them again, and she just had a prophetic word for me. It was just awesome. That really helped chart the course for the following year and, you know, the rest of my life, really. You know, prophetic words are so powerful like that. They can do that.
Yeah, wow. It's cool.
Yeah. So I was looking on your Facebook. I mean, I'm just getting to know you for the first time here. So I would love to hear your story, you know, where you're at. I've seen things like we're going to talk about perichoresis, you know, your involvement with C. Baxter Kruger and yes. And that whole crew. I've been getting to know them myself, been interviewing some of them on my show, like Brad Jerzak. I'm sure we both love him. And
oh yeah,
yeah. Tell me about your journey of faith.
Oh wow,
I know it's a big topic, right?
Yeah, I just turned 40 2 weeks ago, so it has been a while ago. I grew up in a very nominal Christian home, Catholic home, and about the age of 11, my parents divorced, and that was about the time when I started really to ask myself the big questions of life. And but before that, I always remember that I was always drawn to churches and just places where people worshipped. And like when my grandmother, when she would walk with me on the street, I always wanted to go into every church we passed by and just be there for a while. So my mom was a bit freaked out by that. She was scared I would become a Catholic priest or something. And she'd never have any grandkids. But later on then, when my parents divorced and we had a bit of a troubled home, and I really started to look for God and really started to cry out for him. I started to read the Bible around that time. And then one night I just heard Jesus speak to me, you know, follow me, you know.
Wow.
And I got up and had all these plans that what I wanted to do with my life, at, even at that young age. I always had a bit of a writing gift, so I had all these plans. I wanted to become an author and things like that. And I just got up out of my bed and I was always writing like fantasy stories. And he just spoke to me and said, you know, you're not just going to write about wild adventures, you know, you're going to live them with me. And I kneeled down and I just said, okay, Jesus, I follow you. You know, I want to walk with you. And I can remember how the room was really filled with an immense light. I just knew I'd met Jesus. From there on, a lot of things happened. What I didn't know that at this time there was a real movement in our town of young people meeting Jesus. It was kind of a like very, very, very late offshoot the Jesus people movement, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people coming out of the drug culture and so on. Obviously, I was still a bit younger, but it was among the teenagers. Later on, I joined that met a lot of people there, and we had crazy experiences, and where we were prophesying and seeing healings and just crazy encounters with the Lord. And during this time, my parents divorced. There was just a lot of pain in my life, in the sense of my dad. I was always the apple of his eye, but the way the divorce was going, he chose another family. Even though I grew up with him, it was no longer the same relationship. So they split us kids up. There was a lot of brokenness in the family. I've gone through some abuse and stuff like that later on. But what happened next? It's a long story.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. I'm really excited. I can relate on so many levels. Like, my parents divorced as well, and there was a lot of brokenness and dysfunction and stuff. And I was connecting to Jesus at a young age too, encounters with him. So I'd love to hear about your encounters with Jesus. That's brilliant. The light filled the room, and you really knew that you met Jesus. I mean, how tangible was that? Like, encountering Jesus, like that.
Yeah, I mean, after that, he was just real for me then, you know? Mm-hmm. He was just like a real person. And even though theologically I hadn't figured out a lot of stuff, and I was probably believed a lot of weird stuff as well back then, you know, kind of like the story of Lonnie Frisbee, right? When he met Jesus, you know, he had a lot of weird ideas even after he met Jesus, but you then grow in the faith and you get to know him better. And I mean, if you really want to go out there, for me as a growing up Catholic, it wasn't unusual, but you know, the creeds, they talk about the fellowship of the saints, the communion of the saints, you know. And I sometimes had these experiences at this young age where certain people would come from where I know who walked with Jesus would come and visit me, you know, and just let me know they're there. And later on, when I went through my really hardcore fundamentalist time, people told me, oh, that wasn't right, you know, that you had that, you know, we shouldn't have these experiences. But, you know, like Jesus met Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Glorification, right? A transfiguration. And so I had these kind of experiences where I just knew very early on, like I had Francis of Assisi visiting me and stuff like that. Wow. Just crazy stuff that for Catholic, growing up from coming from Catholic background, that didn't freak me out. It did freak me out, but you know, it wasn't like spiritually weird yet. It was only later on that when certain people told me, oh, you know, that wasn't God and so on. But I started to look back on this and I can really see his hand on this. And I don't know why it happened or why it happens to some people, why certain people have some spiritual experiences and others don't have them. But yeah, that really helped me to see that with Moses and Elijah when they turned up and spoke to Jesus. And I was even thinking about that might not have even been just a one-time event, you know?
Oh, yeah. True that. I mean, I've interviewed people on this show who've had visitations from like Thomas Merton. Howard Storm had a visitation from Thomas Merton when he went to visit the, you know, his grave, basically. And he was handed a book of poetry of Thomas Merton by Thomas Merton. And cool. With a big old grin on his face, you know, I think people from heaven can visit us as angels. And I think that's brilliant. I think that's amazing. Of course, Jesus does too, you know, visits from Jesus.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to hear any more encounters you've had, even what that was like with St. Francis of Assisi visiting you. I'd love to hear that story.
There were a couple of encounters with him, and let me think. I mean, one encounter with Jesus that I could maybe mention is that that just comes to mind because it happened during that time very early on, was that I really went through a crisis of faith, because as soon as I had encountered Jesus, all these people came up to me and they were like, "Are you sure, you know, that wasn't just your imagination?" and all this kind of stuff. And other people from other faiths came to me talk to me about their stuff, and I really started to question the Bible, and I was like, okay, you know, is that really God speaking in the Bible and all these kind of things? And I remember it got really bad, and one night I was just kneeling down on the bedroom floor, and I must have been 14 or something, and I just said, you know, Lord, I don't know, my faith is gone, my belief is gone. You know, we're still talking to him, but it's like I suddenly couldn't believe. It was this huge stronghold of unbelief regarding the Bible, the scriptures. And but then suddenly I became aware that Jesus was standing at the right corner of the room. And and it was like, even though if I can bring up any faith in me to what's standing here in the written word, I know you are there, you know. And it was like, and that was at that moment, that was enough. And he really helped me through that, you know. And another experience I had, that I must have been like 20, 23, 24, when I woke up in the middle of the night. I think I mentioned that when we originally connected, that I woke up in the middle of the night and became aware of Jesus sitting next to the bed. Mm-hmm. And he just said, and he just spoke to me and said, you know, I've come as my rabbi, as your rabbi, and I want to teach you some things. And suddenly this download came down, and it was just about John 17, you know, the prayer of Jesus, you know, we may be one as they are one, and so on.
Oh, that's
and
brilliant.
He just downloaded all this revelation into me. It came so fast, I hardly could write it down. Whenever I tried to put away the pen and lay down, it was like more came, you know, and it was just till in the early morning hours. And there's a Latin term for that. I didn't know that. And it happened to Catherine of Siena, that revelation would come so quickly. She had like four people sitting around her. I think with four people, yeah, and they would record what she was receiving because it came so fast. And when I first heard that for the first time, it was like, oh yeah, that's what happened to me, you know, that's exactly how it was. And that was one encounter with Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Another crazy encounter we had just last year in Ireland was that we traveled through Ireland, and I just read an article by a friend of mine on Thérèse of Lisieux. I don't know if I pronounced it correctly. She was also like a Catholic saint. She's one of the most popular Catholic saints, actually. And it was really interesting that all these things recently popped up, because I hadn't been in any connection with the Catholic tradition in any way, shape or form over probably the last 15, 20 years. But so we went to visit this place in Ireland called Knock, and it's known for... some people apparently had an apparition or something there, and we just traveled through, and we had the feeling to go there and visit the church. And a friend of mine had written this article on her about father heart revelation in the spirituality of Therese of Lisieux. And so we went there, and while we were there, suddenly this woman came up to my wife and handed her a flower, and which was very strange. And the woman walked off, and we didn't see her afterwards. But later on, we found out that on that day, they had actually a visit where they brought the relics of Therese of Lisieux to that church. And what we didn't know, and we only found that out later, was that that whenever she appeared to people, someone would give someone a flower, or flowers would appear, or something like that. So that was interesting. So there's crazy stuff like that. And that's how it mostly happened also with the other encounters with Francis of Assisi and so on. Where just became aware of the presence of someone in the room. And I mean, also visions and in dreams. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love the visions and dreams. I've encountered Jesus many times there, and angels instructing, you know, that sort of thing. I love that he was delivering that message of John 17 about our oneness with him. It's not just about how a lot of people use it, like, oh, he just wants us all to get along and unity in the church and that, but it's the backdrop, like the reason why we can have unity in the church is because we're one with him. Yeah. We're one with God, like John 14:20. And I know that's really key in some of the circles that we travel in. I think it's really the theme of this next great reformation and awakening that's coming to the church, is revealing our oneness with God. And it's something that I've been talking a lot about. I can't stop talking about it ever since Jesus came to me and gave me that same revelation about I am in you and you are in me and we are one. And I have this video up on YouTube about our mystical union with God, you know, in Christ. That's just brilliant. So I'm writing a book right now called The Christian Mystic, and that's one of the chapters is about our mystical union. And it's just startling when you realize it. And I was out to coffee recently with someone from my church. I'm part of a really amazing church up in Green Bay called Elevation. I'm out to coffee with one of the teaching pastors, and he started to talk to me about that and say, you know, Daniel, it's like we're like the fourth member of the Trinity. Like, Jesus couldn't have brought us up higher or closer to himself, you know, that in union with him. And that's like, wow, this is brilliant. It's really amazing to talk about.
Yes. And I think that's why also, you know, all these apparitions and visitations of people from the other side, and it's, they already enjoy a lot of this more than us, you know, visibly. You know, they're not closer, but they probably have the veil a bit lifted more. Yeah, you know, the limitations of language. But I think that's where it all plays in. This, that the more you become aware of this oneness that we have with the Trinity, that we are with Christ, hidden in the Father's heart, you know, hidden in God.
Yeah.
And,
oh my.
And that's where these encounters become possible. That's where all these things become possible. So it's no longer about this striving that a lot of us probably fought in the past. You know, we have to fast and pray to get closer to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Instead, we get to just relax and like lean back and rest in Jesus, in quietness and in confidence is your strength. And like, I don't believe God is interested in rewarding the striving. He's like, nope, there's no formula. There's no striving. I'm going to resist that until you come just in humility and just, okay. You know?
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You know, he doesn't want to reward a different way. No, Jesus is the way, and it's always open. The gate's always open. Her gates will never be shut, the Bible says, about New Jerusalem, right? Brad Jerzak wrote a book about that. Yeah, Jesus is the gate, and he's saying, come to me. You will come in and go out and find good pasture. Like, he's made us a citizen of heaven, and he says, hey, you can come and go as you please. And once we start to believe that and grab a hold of that, and we get revelations from heaven too, and from the Lord, and of course the Lord who inhabits us. We're packed in Trinity, as John Crowder says. Now, John Crowder, he's a fun guy. I mean, I know you said that he's come to Germany there, and you've seen him.
Yes. We spend a bit of time with him. Actually, yeah, whenever he's in Germany, we try and spend some time with him, and he's been to Switzerland. And we've been translating some of his stuff into German. So yes.
Yeah, I believe the Lord's really given him a lot of insight and also gifted him in speaking, and the joy of the gospel. Like whenever, I mean, for years, whenever I was having a bad day, I just put on a John Crowder video, watch a Jesus trip, and I'd be starting laughing so soon because it's just the joy of the gospel comes through his message. Like, you know, do you know how good you got it? That Jesus has plugged us in to glory, you know, that Jesus has already glorified us. We're just like, we choose to close our eyes and cover our ears and remain blind to it oftentimes as a human race. But what Jesus has brought us into in the inclusive nature of all that Christ has pulled off for us, that's amazing. What have you learned about that in just, you know, you've gone through a lot of material with C. Baxter Kruger. He's kind of the go-to guy of John Crowder, even. Like, he's like the theologian that's God's using in this Reformation.
Oh, yeah. I had a really... Baxter was here, I think, about a year ago. And we had a very great theological conversation over a bottle of whiskey. So, since he studied in Scotland, and there's apparently a very long tradition between whiskey and theology in Scotland. We had a really great time, and we had some very good conversations. But it really, from personally, my journey has been over a couple of years, and even before it really became popular, you know, I remember the first book I read was Jesus and the Undoing of Adam, and that must have been like 2005, something like that, 2006, if that's correct. I mean, you know, there was no one really talked about these things yet on a big scale, and but I was just hungering for something deeper, and I just knew there were certain things that didn't sit right with me from the background and the journey I had, and so I started reading his book. If I can retrace a bit, when we lived in the UK for a while, and what happened is that I really got a revelation of the Father Heart of God, you know, and that really transformed my life incredibly. Because after my encounter with Jesus for a few years, I was really got stuck in religion and really in striving and really to the brink of a mental breakdown and burnout. So I had this revelation of the Father Heart of God, and there came so much healing from that was flowing into my life, and healing all the pain from my parents' divorce, certain addictions I had, and a brokenness that was still there. And even the religious striving was all basically trying to find validation and trying to be seen, you know. And I didn't know it at that time, but because everyone thought I was like the perfect Christian, you know, I was witnessing, bringing people to church, praying for the sick, prophesying, doing the whole thing. But inside I felt so empty, and I woke up one day and said, you know, I don't even know if I know you, God. And from that, he started to show me his heart and who he was, and that he was my Father. And I experienced what David, when he talks about, even father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. So that I experiencing him fathering me and also mothering me, you know. I also had this kind of revelation of the mother heart of God. still unpacking that one as well. But and after one of the first things that fell away from me was this whole idea that God killed Jesus, you know. He punished him on the cross, you know. But no one was talking about that at that time. Yeah. In the ministry we were involved in, and we were involved in a healing and deliverance ministry in the UK. And I couldn't talk with anyone about it. And so when we came to Germany, back to Germany after that, I started to do really researching into that. The internet had obviously just come up, and a friend of mine had gone through a very similar awakening to the love of the Father. And so I found out about this little booklet, the Jesus and the Undoing of Adam. That's what it was called. And I read it, and it was like scales from my eyes. And I thought, wow, if we could combine that with the experiences we had, you know, if that's the underlying framework, you know, if that's the foundation of the gospel, how much more we can experience that.
I too have the book Jesus and the Undoing of Adam, and that, you know, Jesus is the last Adam, a representative of the human race, and that he's wrapped up all of the cosmos in himself and took it yes. to the cross to undo the sin, and that he actually pulled something off when he said it is finished on the cross. He actually kind of sort of meant it.
Yes.
He pulled something off there. And it's just brilliant. And I love how you brought up the fact, yeah, we thought Jesus was being cursed by his Father, that God the Father was pouring out his wrath. But no, the cross was evidence of Jesus absorbing all of our wrath, you know?
Yes.
And putting it away and overcoming it. And we're actually taking sin away, like he says, like the Bible says, like the Bible's true, folks. Let's figure out what's in there. Yay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have I just wanted to highlight for our listeners, you have a Facebook page, Father Heart Germany. It's facebook.com/Father Heart Germany. And I loved what you've been posting to that, and seems to have a good following already, you know, with just shy of 600 people. That's pretty decent. That's
I didn't know that.
But yeah, it's I love how too you're sharing, like Brad Jerzak on here. I think I saw something, I was watching something by him yes. from this Facebook page, and there's lots of good thoughts, and just encourage people to check that out.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, one of my desires is to really people who carry this message and of the Father's love, you know, and grace and our inclusion in the Trinity and all these basics of the gospel, you know, to really support people who do that and encourage them. And so that's why we got involved in many different things and bringing people together. For a long time, a couple of friends of mine, we had organized something that was called the Love Feast, and where we invited people like Crowder and other folks to share what's on their heart bring people into this understanding and help them to have revelation on it. And
that's brilliant. And as I got to connected with you on Facebook, I noticed we were having a lot of mutual friends in the same thought stream, you know, like Kenneth Tanner, for instance. I don't know how well you know him or connected with him. He shares a lot of devotional thoughts on his Facebook. That's mainly the way he communicates with people.
Yes.
But I'm going to be interviewing him really soon.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for Kenneth, or like what would you want me to highlight from Kenneth's?
Let me get back on that.
Okay. Yeah, you can.
We'd have to think about it. Yeah. No, I mean, I thought you had some really awesome people on the show already. So yeah, it's cool. It's an honor to be here and to be asked to share. And I haven't been doing much. Ministry wise the last year, because we bought this enormous house and that that we are renovating at the moment. So, but yeah, it's at the moment we're I'm really what I really long to see is people coming together in community, you know, where we can talk about these things, but also live it, you know.
Live it out in fellowship. Like, I really see the value in just community and relationships and loving one another, honoring each other.
Yes.
Moving forward. That's what's going to help. Yes. Really. So I love doing that with my Sozo Talk Radio too, just honoring people who carry the message of the Father's heart. That's such so big for me too. When I came back to the Lord at the age of 18, that was the first thing I felt was I'm being fathered by God now. And he's got me under his wing and he's going to teach me, train me. And even when you talk about Jesus coming to you as a rabbi and just getting these downloads, that's brilliant. I'd encourage our listeners and, you know, ourselves too, to just dive deeper into that. Like, Jesus, what do you have to share with me and through me to this world that's going to bring healing and bring the awakening, bring reformation? You know, not be scared about, you know, if it's in the Bible, it's fair game. Like, I've been talking about stuff recently that's actually kind of scary to religious ears. Like, scary in the sense that they're going to tar and feather me. They're going to cast out my name as evil, just like Jesus said they would, you know, if I bring up what Jesus said, you know. That's how it feels sometimes. It's kind of crazy. It's like, has the devil set up shop in the church or something? What's going on here? We're supposed to be believers. Like, are we following Jesus? Are we believing, you know, what he has to say? I'm at a loss sometimes and just, you know, but it's encouraging to find people like you and others, and that there's a movement of even teachers in this stream too, that we can pull from. Brad Jerzak, you know, C. Baxter Kruger. And if you want to have a really good time and joyful, you know, watching some John Crowder. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, the interesting thing that a lot of these people, I mean, especially when you talk about like Brad or others, you know, they came into this through their practice of contemplation and the mystical, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. What does it mean to you? What does that mean to you to be a Christian mystic?
I think it's, for me, it means basically, you know, that to as you said, experience what the Bible says, you know, not just talking about it, you know, not just thinking about it, discussing it, or, you know, but really experiencing it, you know. And you know, when Paul, he talks about the mystical secrets of God, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think that really sums it up. You know, the Catholic theologian Karl Rahner, who actually lived just around the corner from here, he once said, you know, the Christian of the future will be a mystic, or he will be nothing at all, something along these lines. Yeah. And I really agree with that. If the gospel needs to be experienced, it's good news that we can only experience. And if you think about it, it's all about trust in the Father. It's in this relationship. We all always talk about in the church about having a personal relationship with God or Jesus, but it's not just, you know, you prayed a prayer and now you have a personal relationship or something. First of all, the relationship has been established by him. We don't establish a relationship with God. He establishes with us. But we come to rest in this relationship. We come to trust in this relationship and experience it. And I want to experience that. I don't just want to theologize about it, as important as theology might be, you know. But very often theology is just how the way we think about our experiences. So we need to have experiences.
Theology is like showing people the door, but you got to walk through the door into that realm of paradise, through the gate, Jesus, into the kingdom, right? And the kingdom is accessible to who? The childlike, the dependent, first of all, is what Jesus was really emphasizing there.
Yes.
And also, you know, there's a lot of other wonderful qualities about children. Their curiosity. Why did we ever shut that down? Why did we stop learning and try to get comfortable with what we know? And okay, I've got this controlled in this box now. No, let's obliterate those boxes. Jesus never is in a box. And we can find Christ, I found, anywhere, really, because it's all Him. You know, in Him we live and move and have our being. He's much bigger than we thought.
Yes. So, I totally agree. Yes. He is all in all. It's very interesting what you're saying there, because my wife once had this spiritual experience where she was in this open vision, and it was like a church setting or a classroom, and in the room was the Narnia wardrobe.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And there was a window, and there was a window to the outside world. And in the room, she sat there among the people, and all the people were doing, they were talking about the wardrobe and how great the wardrobe is and what would be in the wardrobe and how great the world out there might be. But no one looked neither out of the window, nor would anyone go through the wardrobe. They were just talking about it. I can't remember if it was a vision or a dream, but it was a very vivid experience.
I kind of had that reaction. Oh my goodness, because that ties in, it dovetails perfectly with how I opened my book, because I had this dream years ago about being in a synagogue, and there was like the Holy Ark, you know, it was like the wardrobe, you know, thing.
Yes.
And it contained the Word of God. And I was going to open it, and then I got distracted by somebody called my name. And it just served as such a lesson. I never got to open it to see what was in there.
Yes.
And because I got distracted. So don't let anybody steal your crown. Like, God has adventures, like He told you. Like you're not supposed to just write about these adventures. You're going to have them with me, He said to you. Like, wow, that's amazing. And then, so years later, I was so curious about it. I was actually at a vineyard conference, and I prayed about it. I'm like, Lord, can I go back there right now? Will you take me back there? Can I open that to know what it is? And it turned out to be a portal into Narnia type experience.
Hey, cool.
Like, it was paradise. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then we can walk through that door. We can step in and have these experiences, adventures with Christ. Like, I've heard lots of stories about, you know, spirit travel and teleportation and being like even in your dreams, going to minister to people as an angel. I've had these experiences myself, like casting demons out of people and traveling there to pray for that person. It's just brilliant, the kind of adventures that we can have, you know, as a Christian mystic.
Oh yes. You know, that's the freedom, the glorious freedom of the children of God, you know, that Paul talks about, that we are supposed to come into and to experience. Just one more story that fits perfectly right in with that. So when I was, because we were running these Father Heart schools, and I was at a Father Heart school in Finland, and while I was lying on the ground, I suddenly was taken into heaven, and it was just like you described, you know, it was just paradise, and I saw this river flowing through it, and there were all these trees and flowers and these very vivid colors, and then a voice said to me, you know, that river is the Father's love, and that river it flows through everything, just like what we shared about, you know, about you can see Him everywhere, and then He said to me, you know, I'm bringing you back to this innocence, you know, this childlikeness, where you can walk again naked with me in the cool of the garden. And just like you said, it's about this trust, this dependency, this vulnerability. And there's something beautiful in what we sometimes talk about in our Father Heart schools about weakness, you know, being weak before Him, you know. And like Paul said, you are strong in my weakness. And to just live in this Yeah, in this childlikeness, where all these things can happen then, where all the miracles happen, where yeah, like these crazy travels and all this kind of stuff happens, and traveling in dreams, and it's such a big universe, you know, yeah. And we haven't tapped in 10%, into 10% of whatever it is, you know, or 1%.
Yeah, we're barely scratching the surface to how glorious, I mean, the Lord once told me in a dream, like, he asked me the question, and I just knew the responses automatically just by the Spirit. He said, well, the question was posed, what's your past? Forgiven and forgotten. What's your future? I have a glorious future in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's just brimming with joy, like joy unspeakable and full of glory. It just makes, you're bursting at the seams because you're so filled with joy about what God's preparing for us. You know, that one scripture, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is preparing for those who love him. But then it says, then it says in the very next verse, but the Spirit's revealing this to you. You know it. And you're going to come to know it more. You know, we're walking into it right now. Eternal life is now, you know.
Yes.
It's such a fallacy years ago when people used to preach that eternal life is payable on death. Like it's something you get when you die or something. Oh, there's eternal life. No, eternal life is now, but it's then, you know, it's going to be always growing better and increasing in glory, from glory to glory, right?
yes. Yeah. The way I understand it, you know, eternal life is actually the life that God lives, his life.
You know,
that, like Peter said, we share in the divine nature, you know, the back to the comment on we are the fourth member of the Trinity kind of thing. It's his life, the eternal life, the divine life of God that we participate in and that we can experience right now. It's very interesting. I was just talking to someone about this, that, you know, the Bible never talks about that when anyone of the apostles preaches or something. It's never, the question is never asked, where will you go to when you die tonight? You know, it's always now. You know, Jesus is risen. The kingdom has come. What are you going to do about it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will you share in it now? And so.
And we're saying yes. Yes, we will. And we're going to invite all our listeners and everybody else to join us in this wonderful adventure. Jesus came for the whole human race. There's no one left out.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's the God of the human race. He's not the God of the Christians, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's also, you know, when you discover that he is the original parent of everyone, you know, then you can go and you can speak into people's destiny and into their purpose. Because you start to see with his eyes how he originally sees them before all this stuff came on top that hit who they really are and hit, his image in them. Or, you know, you can go and you can speak to that and you can speak to that image in them to wake up, you know, wake up to the reality of Christ in them and what he's sharing with them. And he's sharing the Father's love and his heart with them. And that's one of the things I've learned as well, you know, when Jesus said, you know, we talked about it, my burden is light and so on. And it's in the same context when he said, no one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son and to whom he chooses to reveal him, you know. And it's he reveals the Father to us, and we can know the Father. There's a revelation of the Father to us from Jesus, just like there's a revelation of Jesus from the Father to us. You know, when we first meet Jesus, it's because the Father opens our eyes to see Jesus. You know, we discover him, we discover Christ in us, like Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. And on the other hand, there's then a revelation of Christ in us, of Jesus in us, who reveals the Father's love to us, and that we're already seated in heavenly places. We're already with him, and that we join in that. And that's when we can prophesy into people's lives, when we can speak healing into their lives, because we see how he already sees them. We can see how he already loves them and always has. Yeah. And their original purpose and destiny for them. Yes.
Yeah, and prophecy is speaking to that heart of Jesus. Prophecy, there's a verse about that in Revelation that really spoke to me years ago. It just jumped off the page. It says, the spirit of prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of Jesus, revealing of Jesus' heart. It's not just about telling the future. It's about telling how God sees you. That's what prophecy, the heart and soul of it really is.
Yes.
Is conveying to someone, this is how God sees you.
Yes.
It's always good and loving and gentle and kind and and wooing us to his love, that unconditional love, that so that we can be, you know, that we can be all that God created us to be and reveal our true identity.
Yes.
Which mirrors love.
Yes.
Which echoes Christ in this world.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Well, this has been a brilliant time with you. I don't know how much time you have, but we're coming up to about an hour. We'll just have to have another chat sometime.
Yeah, maybe we need to. It's getting dark here, so I hope you can see me. So Yeah. No, it's been really great to meet you and to connect with you. And I listened to your show a couple of times before that then.
Oh, really? Like even before you met me or what?
Yes. I think last year or something, I can't remember how I found out about it, but yeah. So when you contacted me, it was like, oh yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I was just curious, like, well, which episode did you see? It's going for a year. I started out with Robbie Dawkins and How to Raise the Dead. And the reason I went after that first was because it was a major hang up in my own life. Cause I had tried to follow God's lead, or so I thought, you know, to go and raise somebody from the dead at a funeral. And I was taking a bold step of faith and it backfired horribly. And it just kind of wrecked my faith for a while. And so I sought out Robbie Dawkins and just because he speaks to that, and he actually tells stories of his own failures too, leading up to the success that he has had. But yeah, lots of other fun interviews. I get to talk with some cool people, and I just posted this interview I did with a near-death experiencer. That's something I've been researching, and like, how is God reaching out to us through these? Because people are experiencing God. Oftentimes they come back into their own framework of thinking, and so you can't always trust what they say, or they don't always have the best theology, you know, because they're maybe interpreting a pure experience through the lens of whatever. But there's a lot of things you can learn through those, and I've been interviewing a few people that way. But oh my gosh, the interview I had with Trisha Barker was brilliant, because she talks about how Jesus came to her personally and restored her image of Jesus after you know, just being spiritually abused in religion.
Yes.
So God was healing her heart. And
I need to watch this. Yeah. I think the episode I did originally watch, because I watched more than one, was the one with Mel Wilde, Sunshift.
Mel Wilde. Yeah. Sunshift.
I think that was the first one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got that blog, Father's Heart, and he even shared it on his blog too, which maybe if you're connected with him.
Yeah. 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 I read his book.
Father Heart of God. Yeah. Sunshift. That was a great book. And, and he's got a lot of good material at his blog, melwild.wordpress.com. I think you could find that for our list's sake, you know?
Yeah. So I think that was the first one. Yeah. Yeah. But it's great. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We can do that whenever you're up for it. We can do it again. So that's.
Yeah. I'll connect you with some of my other friends too. Some of whom are podcasters, and maybe we can do like a group show or something. It'd be fun. Yeah. Fun.
Why
to
not?
Connect to you with them. Yeah. Well, you have a great night, and I'm just gonna, we'll sign off and we'll connect again sometime. Florian, this has been a great conversation, and just I think it'll be really helpful to plug people into the Father Heart of God, our mystical union with God, all this stuff we talked about, and we'll there's gonna be lots of links in the description of this video to connect you to, you know, Florian and also to some of these teachers and, you know, our heroes, some of these theologians. And yeah, thank you all for listening. Have a great day.